The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network.
And I said this before, like I spent 17 years writing for television, which is such a team effort. It's like you're playing on a team and it's you're like in a band, you know, it's that kind of feeling of like it's just camaraderie. And then to switch to writing a novel where not only is it just you alone in a room and you're like it's ground control to Major Tom. You're just like floating out there in space. but then not getting feedback as you go along. I mean, that's the other thing about writing a TV show is that every week, you know, the AV Club watches it and gives you a grade. I mean, like, imagine that, like getting a grade on your work every week.
And welcome back to The Writer Files. This is still your grateful host, Kelton Reed, wishing you pages, patience, and perseverance per usual. A 7-time Emmy nominee and co-creator of the hit TV series How I Met Your Mother, Carter Bays, spoke to me about working with David Letterman, being a recovering TV writer, and his debut novel, The Mutual Friend. Carter's best known as the co-creator of the sitcom How I Met Your Mother, which ran on CBS for 9 seasons. The companion series How I Met Your Father, starring Hilary Duff, premieres on Hulu in 2022. His latest is The Mutual Friend, described as a thought-provoking debut novel set in New York City, following a sprawling cast of characters as they navigate life, love, loss, ambition, and spirituality, without ever looking up from their phones. A starred Kirkus Review called the book a perfect summer beach read, but one that deserves serious awards consideration as well. A New York Times bestselling author, Claire Pooley, called the book the most extraordinary and beguiling novel I've read in years. In this file, Carter and I discussed why working on The Late Show with David Letterman was a comedy MFA, how to get a laugh, when he finds the time to write fiction, the use of Easter eggs and twists and narrative structure, why you need to get your work in front of strangers, and a lot more. Stay calm and write on. And don't forget, you can always support this show by heading to writerfiles.fm, where you can also sign up for email updates, get links to merch, and other resources for writers. And if you're a fan of The Writer Files, please click follow to automatically see new interviews in your podcatcher as soon as they're published, and drop us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to help other writers find us. All right, we are rolling once again on The Writer Files. I am honored today to be joined by a special guest. I have co-creator of Emmy Award-winning TV series How I Met Your Mother, Carter Bays, is dropped by today to talk about his debut novel. Thanks for taking the time to do this.
Thank you, Kelton. It's great to be here.
Yeah, this is exciting. I love talking with writers from that jump genres and even kind of career tracks. But, you know, I understand you're pretty entrenched and embedded in TV world. And this is kind of a little bit of a departure for you, right?
It is. In many ways, it's sort of a natural progression for me. I think like on How I Met Your Mother, that particular version of television writing was kind of telling this very long saga, some would say. So I love telling big stories and writing fiction is something I always loved fiction. I've always been a big reader and a fan of books. And it's funny, like I literally, when we were starting How I Met Your Mother, I was halfway through Anna Karenina, which I had never read. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the series, I found the same copy and the bookmark was stuck in the same place. And I picked up and kept going. it was kind of like, I feel like working on the show was kind of this 10-year break from doing anything other than writing How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. And interestingly, like one of the characters ended up with the last name Shcherbatsky, which is from Anna Karenina. But when the show ended, I rediscovered fiction. I rediscovered literature and reading, and I really just like took myself to school and caught up on all the books that I had missed, and it re-sparked this love of this particular medium. And so that's kind of what got me into it.
Well, take us back a little bit, as we do with so many authors. Talk about your superhero origins, because obviously, you know, fiction is something that you've loved and are now debuting this fantastic novel to all this acclaim, these fantastic blurbs, which we'll talk about. But take us back a little bit, because I understand. You spent quite a few years working on The Late Show with Dave Letterman. You're a seven-time Emmy nominee. And you've worked, and now, like, to now, you've worked with all these big stars in Hollywood. Talk a little bit about, yeah, how you came to the Carter Bays of today.
Yeah, sure. I've always loved stories. I've always seen the world through stories. My origin story goes directly back to my mom, who was a librarian. I grew up in libraries. I grew up, like, you know, walking around the Shaker mm-hmm. Heights Public Library, and there was always a giant bag of books in the trunk of our car that is one of the perks of being the librarian's kid. And yeah, I've always loved telling stories. I've always seen my life through stories and used stories to process. The writing has always been my form of therapy. I think especially if you watch certain things on How I Met Your Mother, like, that's uh-huh. very much the case. And I went to Wesleyan University. I met Craig Thomas, which was like the big momentous turning point in my life, because he became my writing partner for many years. Yeah. And we worked, we managed to get a job on Letterman. And Letterman after college was, we did that for 4.5 years. And it really was, I call it my comedy MFA, because it really was, among other things, I mean, it was a great job to have, and it was a great way to live in New York City at that time in life. But it was more than anything else, it was just this fantastic workshop in how to write, and how to write comedy, especially because it was just this crucible through mm-hmm. which you just you burn away every part of yourself that's precious about the things that you write, and you really, like, when you are going up against a crowd of strangers every night, and your jokes are being performed by the funniest comedian on earth, so, like, you can't blame him if your joke fails. It's not Dave's fault, it's your fault. And it really was a great way to learn how to craft a joke and how to get a laugh. And that was really fun for a number of years. Ultimately, Craig and I both had this feeling that, I mean, we both came from a fiction background, and we both kind of wanted to, and I also came from like a drama background. I was a playwright in high school, and we both wanted to tell stories. We wanted to write for characters, not write for the stagehands at the Ed Sullivan Theater. You know, we wanted to, like, write for actors. And so I always describe it as, like, we were Kermit and Fozzie packing up the Studebaker and driving to Hollywood. And we got to LA and had some great formative experiences in writing half hour comedy. We worked for Steve Levitan and Howard Gewirtz on the show Oliver Bean. We learned a lot doing that. And then that is where we sort of, like, kind of realized that, like, this half hour comedy is the medium for us, and we really loved it. And then How I Met Your Mother kind of grew out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that had a fantastic run. And then, garnered all kinds of Emmy wins and nominations for you personally. Must have been pretty satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think not only getting to work with narrator Bob Saget, and then of course Neil Patrick Harris, an actor that I knew as Doogie Howser before the renaissance of his career, which was pretty fantastic to see. Jason Segel and many, many, many incredible comedic actors as well, right?
Yeah, it was tremendous. I mean, that's the story of How I Met Your Mother, was just how lucky we were to get to work with so many talented people in front of the camera and especially behind the camera. I think, like, our crew, you know, our show gets accused of a lot of things. And one of them is that we ran way too long. And I just don't see it, because for me, it was it wasn't even a question of, like, how do you leave this family that like, we have so much fun making the show. And, you know, I'm so grateful for that experience, and that especially, like, you know, now that I'm writing novels and doing the, you know, sitting alone in a room, you know, writing my 1,000 words a day, like, it's a different experience. I miss the collaboration. I miss the camaraderie of, like, working with a writing staff.
Because so, it kind of becomes like a family, I understand, you know?
Oh, it very much so. I mean, it really was. And I, you know, I'm still in touch with all of those people and still, like, you know, text with Pam Fryman all the time. And, but yeah, it was I feel very, very blessed and grateful that I got to have that experience for as long as I did. Because a steady gig in television is a really, really rare thing. And I'm very grateful for it.
Well, Jason Segel had some nice things to say about The Mutual Friend.
He did.
Yeah, which is your debut novel. And I thought it was very cool that Elan Mastai, who's also been on this show,
Is the
author of All Our Wrong Todays. He's also a TV writer, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, he, Elan, and I love his book, All Our Wrong Todays. And he's so, it was so sweet of him to write that quote, because I hadn't met him we got kind of thrown together in that regard, but he was in at this point I was helping them get How I Met Your Father up and running on the Paramount lot in Los Angeles. And he was working one building over on This Is Us, which he was a writer for. And it was kind of funny. Like, oh, this guy's like literally 30 feet away from me and he's so reading my book.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
But no, it seems apropos. And of course, he said, The Mutual Friend is like a 10-course dinner party with your frankest, woodiest friends confiding all their secrets, with plenty of full-on belly laughs and also granular emotional insight and sharp-eyed observations about modern life and love. And that it is. But yeah, just some great reviews. Kirkus said an original, intelligent novel that's not just a perfect summer beach read, but one that deserves serious awards consideration, which is some high praise there, I would think.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so how did that feel, kind of receiving praise from your you know, peers from the fiction side, not just from TV, you know?
Yeah, that's been really, really exciting and gratifying and wonderful. And among other things, I've discovered so many, like, through this process, I've discovered so many writers that I now love, like Jennifer E. Smith and Mary Laura Philpott, and like these people that like I hadn't been exposed to before this. And I'm now a big fan of their writing. And it's just such a, and I said this before, like I spent 17 years writing for television, which is such a team effort. It's like you're playing on a team and it's you're like in a band, you know. It's that kind of feeling of like it's just camaraderie. And then to switch to writing a novel where not only is it just you alone in a room and you're like, it's Ground Control to Major Tom, you're just like floating out there in space and but then not getting feedback as you go along. I mean, that's the other thing about writing a TV show, is that every week, you know, the AV club watches it and gives you a grade. I mean, like, imagine that, like getting a grade on your work every week. Like, it really is. And I was grateful for that. I mean, I'm grateful for like getting that sort of making the show a conversation with the people watching it. That was really a cool part of the experience. But with this, you know, it was years and years just me alone with this story and alone with these characters and knowing how much I loved it and how much I cared about these characters and was really like just enjoying writing it. But not, you know, no one else knowing about it, knowing about this world. And it was, so it's such an interesting experience. Like now, like it just getting, you know, the gates being opened and like it being out in the world and people reading it. Like it's a big relief. It's a big relief that it's like, okay, I'm not crazy. There's something here.
Yeah. Well, talk a little bit about the seeds of the idea behind the book and the process of getting it to publication, you know, because you are a busy producer and writer. So you've got probably a lot of balls in the air at any one time, but then you talk about the solitary nature of actually having to sit down and get pages.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that transition for you and then kind of like what your most prolific day looks like just as a fictionist.
Okay. Yeah. This idea has been percolating for a long time for me. It was really the summer of 2014, right after How I Met Your Mother had ended. My family, we'd moved to New York and, we were living on the Upper West Side. my kids were going to school at a school in Morningside Heights, sort of across the street from Columbia University. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I would walk them to school every day and then walk home. And I was sort of at a point in my life where I didn't know what I was going to do next. I didn't have a deal for a new show or anything like that. I was just really kind of like, all right, it's a big reset for me.
Yeah.
And actually that summer I took a class in Buddhism at Columbia. I like signed up for like continuing education program, which is something that made its way into the book. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just doing a lot of thinking about like what's the story of right now? What do I, like, as someone in this particular generation living in this particular place, what can I talk about that is specific to the world I live in that only someone living right now can tell? And it feels like the story of right now, for me, it really felt like this transition that we've made as a species, and I'll go as big to say as a species, that we that technology has changed so much about how we live our lives and how we think and how we remember memories and how we interact with our friends and how we fall in love. Like, it just, it's such a huge paradigm shift. And yeah. I like having lived through it. You know, my kids haven't lived through it. This is just the world they live in. You know, this, mm-hmm. They don't know, they're fish and they don't know what water is, you know, but like, I know, like, I'm like, I remember the days before I had an email address and before, you know, when there was like one phone in the house mm-hmm. nailed to the wall in the kitchen and
that with the really long cord.
Yeah. With a really long cord that got all tangled. And yeah. And I, so I just felt like that's the story that needs to be told. It really was the cliche of like, think of the book that you want to read. That's the book that you need to write. And I felt like I wanted to see the book that's like, what's the book that, you know, I think about, like, I love Jane Austen. Like, I mean, who doesn't love Jane Austen? Like, I just think it's so cool that, like, if you want to learn about Regency England and the customs of courtship and marriage, like, you're not going to read a history book on it. You're going to read Pride mm-hmm. and Prejudice. You're going to read Emma, you know, and I sort of love that about fiction, that it can be this just, this historical document of the time. And so I sort of had an eye on, like, as I was writing it, sort of thinking like, I want to write something that 200 years from now, someone could read this and give as good a view, as accurate a depiction as I can do of like what it is like living right now in this particular moment of this huge transition for human society. And that was kind of the sort of the grandiose goal I gave myself. But I was also a recovering TV writer, and I sort of, so, you know, it started out as a TV script, and I made a bunch of other pilots along the way. Like, I was still sort of like trying, I still sort of felt like, well, I'm TV writing is the craft I've spent all these years learning, and so that's what I need to do with myself. And it really took a number of failed projects, like, just to put it bluntly, to mm-hmm. like realize, like, which and I say failed projects, like, which is, that's the life of a TV writer. Like, I got exactly. so lucky getting first one out of the gate to run 9 seasons. Like, it's just, that's your lot in life, is like you write pilots and they don't get picked up. And then, you know, you hope like maybe once in a while one will. But after a few years of that, I was still sitting on this story, and I still, like, I, you know, Alice was still sitting there, waiting to, you know, study for her MCAT and try and pass this test. I just felt like I need to see this through to the end. And so it really was a moment where I had to make some tough calls and push some things aside and say, like, I'm not a TV writer for the next couple of years. I'm just doing this, and I need to, like, go into a room. And so, yeah. And in answer to your question of like, what's a good day? Like, I made it my job. I made it, I got an office. So I would, like, take the subway to the office, and I would go sit in a room, light a candle. That was always my little routine for whatever reason. If the candle's lit, it, like, that was my Pavlovian, like, okay, time to work. And just got really scientific about it and said, like, all right, a novel is, you know, 80,000 words or 100,000 words. You know, if I write 1,000 words a day, I'll have a draft in 100 days, you know? And mm-hmm. so I 1,000 words a day. And that, you know, that was, I think it was 700 words a day. I think that was, like, for most of the novel, because 1,000 was pretty ambitious, but yeah, I just really, I made it my job, and it was really, I was very grateful to have, to be able to do that. And like anyone sitting here saying like, oh, I just made it my job to go write a novel. Like there's the backstory of that is the incredible support system that you have, like, especially me with three kids, like my wife was so wonderful. And we had some household help that, like, you know, I'm so grateful to have the privilege of being able to do that. But, yeah, it was a good 2.5 year leap of faith from like when I first started writing it to when I finally sent the manuscript off to a publisher.
Talk a little bit about, you know, I mean, I'd love to talk about like narrative twists in, screenwriting and fiction, but talk a little bit about kind of the similarities or the differences between The Mutual Friend and some of your TV writing. The Mutual Friend is about an ensemble of 20-something New Yorkers over the course of one summer as they navigate love, loss, ambition, and faith. And of course, there are a lot more moving parts to it than that. But you know, mm-hmm. no spoilers here. There have always kind of been some Easter eggs and some twists in your narrative process. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I love that stuff. I love laying traps and springing them. It's my favorite thing in writing. I'm a true blue outliner. I love writing outlines. I love planning ahead. I always try to like outline, give myself enough room in the outline to have every moment I'm running feel fresh and have every moment, you know, like when I'm writing it, you know, give room to surprise myself, obviously. But I love, as a reader and as a viewer, I love when a trap is sprung on me. I feel like there's something very satisfying about knowing you're in, you really feel like you're in good hands when someone pulls off something like that. So yeah. I don't sit down and think like, okay, well, I'm going to write a book. What's a great twist ending, you know, but as things come along, you know, and as you know, you sort of, you know, bits of information will arrive and you'll think like, well, do I say that information now? Or do I say that information 200 pages from now after you've given people time to wonder about it? and so, yeah, I mean, there's certainly some twists in this book, and there's a bigger twist that's kind of gradually unfolds that my real goal with this book was to write a book that's like a super fun beach read that you can read in a day. And it's just like a 10 great episodes of How I Met Your Mother in a row, like that kind of feeling of just like just people like off living their lives in hilarious ways and with some heartbreak also. And feeling like a full three-dimensional story. And I wanted to give people that experience, but I also wanted to like, I wanted to do the, you know, two books for the price of one thing where you finish the book and then you go back to page one and it's a whole new book now that you kind of know what you're reading.
Yeah, for sure. Well, kudos on the work and
well, thank you.
Yeah, the praise is really, really rolling in and it's very nice. That's got to feel good.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah,
thank you.
And it is a lot of fun. Thank you for sharing it. Yeah, so let's talk about what you're on to next. Are you like back and forth between TV? Are you trying to get more fiction, out there into the world? What's next?
I would love to write the next book. The blessing of this book is that the thing that made it possible is that I wasn't on a timeline, and I just sort of said I'm going to write it when it feels right. I'll be finished when it feels right. And so I'm giving myself that freedom again this time around, but I definitely, I love this experience and I want to do it 10 more times. You know, I really enjoyed it.
That's awesome. So we can look forward to more of your work.
For sure.
Well, very cool. So a couple of fun ones before we wrap up with your advice to your fellow scribes. Are you a coffee or a tea drinker?
Coffee. Full on coffee. Tea gives me a little tummy ache. I get a little, my tum-tum doesn't feel so good after tea. So it's coffee. Yeah. Which, you know, and black coffee too. So I don't know. I don't know why that I'm inoculated against that particular stomach turner, but I just black coffee.
But isn't black coffee just the easiest thing to just continually?
It is. Yeah.
Put into your face.
I love it. It's, you know, that's, everyone has their ritual in the morning. And like for me, like making the coffee for the house is like, that's, I just love that. And I love grinding the beans and the whole thing. I am just, it goes back to, Twin Peaks for me, like Twin Peaks as a 15-year-old Asian Cooper drinking coffee, really just like lodged in my brain and has not let go.
Oh, I wonder if we could do someday, go back and do like best coffee drinking scenes in like cinema or television.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I mean, a retrospective, because there's so many.
Yeah. I'm sure five of them are in Twin Peaks for sure.
Yeah. Pulp Fiction, and then,
yeah, I don't
know, Goodfellas, or who knows. Okay. anyway, moving on. We'll say that for another episode.
Yeah.
Team coffee, and let's see here. If you could have any author from any era to your favorite spot in the world for dinner, all expenses paid, of course.
Oh, wow.
Who would you take and where would you take them?
I mean, I think I don't think anyone has any right to pick anyone other than Shakespeare, just because, I mean, how do you not? But, like, so Shakespeare is the obvious one. Jane Austen, I think, is also someone I'd love to. I don't know where we'd go.
Bring them both.
I'll say like James Joyce. I think that's my heart is he's my favorite writer, and I would I think just go walk around Dublin, go to Davy Burns and have a gorgonzola cheese sandwich and a glass of Burgundy and recreate Ulysses, and that would be the dream.
I think that might be a first, James Joyce, and that's surprising. Honestly.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's, yeah.
But you could bring all three. You could bring Shakespeare.
Jane, we can get a table.
James.
Yeah. I'll have my people call ahead, and we'll get a table. We'll leave something in the back.
That'd for be nice. Sure. Something all private.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. So just kind of like any pearls of wisdom for aspiring scribes and just how to persevere. You know, this has been it's been some challenging years for everybody, but you know, as the world is seemingly topsy turvy and then turvy topsy, you know, like how do we keep going? Focus on the writing?
I think everyone's born with a different set of proficiencies and deficiencies, and I personally, like for me, the thing I needed to do to get better at writing was, and this goes back to Letterman. My advice for especially writing comedy is just like get your work in front of people that don't like you, or not that they don't like you, but just don't know you. Like get your work in front of strangers as much as possible, and really pay attention to what makes them laugh and what doesn't. That's the only way to get good at it, I think. I think like it's great to listen to your heart, and it's great, you know, that, but your heart will always be there, and you'll always have a sense of like what you think is funny, but like it's very, just having an experience with, first of all, just getting over the hump of like putting your stuff out there. Like I always struggled with like, is it ready? Is it done? And really just like the more you get over that preciousness and get over that hump and just like get people to read your stuff, I think is like, that's how you get better. That's the whetstone you sharpen yourself against, is just strangers. And I think, so like for me, like I was lucky enough to work on Letterman where, you know, we had an audience full of strangers every night, day in, day out. But like, I think Twitter is great for that. I think stand-up comedy, improv, like any chance you get to put yourself in front of people who don't know you is a really useful learning experience.
For sure. I like that. The proving ground. And of course, you got to fail faster because the sooner you do, the sooner you're going to learn to get back up.
And fail better, as Beckett said.
Perfect.
That's it.
I love it. Carter, thank you so much. Any socials you want to connect with listeners with?
Sure. Well, my website is carterbays.com. My Twitter is @CarterBays. And my Instagram is @CarterLBays, because whoever has @CarterBays showed up probably 2 days before I arrived on Instagram and snatched it up. So L is my middle initial. So there you go. But and as far as celebrating, I actually it's really cool. Like, the book comes out on June 7th, which is my daughter's birthday. We're going to Disneyland. So that's
perfect.
The perfect way to celebrate.
Yeah. Love it. I love it, man. Again, thanks for your time, for your wisdom. Come back and rap with us in the future. And best of luck with everything.
Well, thank you very much, Kelvin. This is great.
Thanks so much for joining us for this file. And if you're a fan of the show, simply head over to writerfiles.fm for more. That's writerfiles.fm.